We're putting the entire 2026 Wisconsin season on the board. Offense, defense, Colton Joseph, Luke Fickell, trophies, touchdowns, and even a few things Vegas would never touch. So grab your picks, choose a side, and get ready to argue over and under one of our favorite shows of the year. Let's have some fun. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. And that's Ryan. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective. Woo-hoo! Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, part of the Believe Podcast Network. We're your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers. On today's show, we're choosing a side on the biggest statistical benchmarks for Wisconsin's 2026 season, over or under. We make our picks on Luke Fickell's win total, Colton Joseph's production, Jeff Grimes' offense, Abu Sama, the Badgers' defense, and several rapid-fire props that should create plenty of disagreement. Some picks will feel easy. Others may expose exactly how confident or nervous we really are about this team. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and follow the channel on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. Thanks for all the support of the show. Of course, we are right in the middle of our countdown to kickoff. We've had a ton of great shows so far. Today, of course, is our season over and unders, one of our favorite shows of the year. If you haven't checked out the Know Your Foe series, we've knocked out Notre Dame, Penn State, and USC. We're doing UCLA this week on Wednesday. And of course, this Tuesday, media days in Chicago. I'm going to be there. Ryan's going to be there. Nick Osen's going to be there. So tons of stuff coming up, content as we approach the season. It's fantastic. Ryan's here with us. So we have to, of course, play the Ryan song.
The great Ryan Herrings.
That's the old one. And I know he doesn't like the new one, so I went with the old one.
Thank you. That is toned down. Even that's a little much.
You need to get visual effects that pop up and like shoot off fireworks and stuff.
Here's Ryan. He's all right.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we're not asking your wife.
I'm going to work on that. I'm going to just find one that's more boring for Ryan. All right. This is one of our favorite shows, Over and Unders. We have 24 of these bad boys. 16 of them are going to be kind of more of our full discussion type things. And then we're going to get into a rapid fire one at the end where I'm going to really like put these guys on the spot, have some fun with it, which is always good. We definitely want your comments here. So as we go through these Over and Unders, whether you're listening to us on the podcast or YouTube Live or YouTube later, put your stuff in the comments. I'm really curious to see kind of where you guys are with this, how you feel. We really line up on a lot of these things. All right, so let me get this going. All right, so what I'll do is I'll come to one of you first, and then if I come to Ryan first, then Justin go right after him. If I come to Justin first, Ryan go after him. I might start some of them, but I'll just tell you when I'm going to do that, and only ones I feel really passionate about. I'm starting with Justin on the first one because I already know where he lands on this. We've kind of talked about it here and there before. It's the big one, points per game. 24.5 over or under, Justin. Where are you at with this? I actually know where you're at, but I want you to talk about it.
I'm over on this. I don't think by a lot, but I do think that if this is a functional team and they're actually like, if we talk about records like 8-4 with this team, they have to be over 24.5 points. Like it's funny to talk about that number, and it's such a ridiculously low number when you contextualize that. Like if we put out like the last 25 years of Badger football, we were consistently above that total for probably 20 years up until recently. And now we're suddenly, we can't do anything right. So I do think last year puts such a negative taste in our mouth in terms of offense that people are lower than what we probably should be for expectations. But this is probably the best offensive line we've had under Fickell. And I think that that in itself should aid that a little bit. But I also think that defense, this may not be, last year might be slightly better. But I think that because of, like, I just don't see a route where we have 6 turnovers again. And I think that that's going to play a role in terms of our scoring, too, this year.
Okay.
I struggle on this one more than Justin. I really do. Like, this team can be quite a bit better than last year and still fall under 24. You still got to play a couple tough teams. I don't know if the passing game is going to be very good at all. I think you're going to run the ball, but when you run the ball, you shorten the game, which means there's probably less scoring. I'm going to go over, but I think this is actually a pretty good number. Give me like 25, like slight over, but I'm not as bullish on it, I don't think, as Justin is.
I'm with you. I'm also not as bullish on it. I think it's going to be officially, my answer is under. I hate saying that, but I think it's going to be like 24.3. I legitimately believe that 24 is pretty much where we're going to be, which again, not that bad. It's not great, but if our defense is as good as we want it to be and expect that it actually will be, then it's good. That's good enough to win us seven games. I firmly believe that. And I think that we have to be a little, like, as the season gets closer, I get more optimistic, but I also get a little more realistic on the O-line. And I'm like, I just don't know how incredible that particular unit's going to be. It's going to be better, going to be improved. Is it going to be like old school Wisconsin where we can score 30 points a game? I don't know that that's going to be a part of it. I know you disagree, Justin, and I want you to tell me like why, but I don't think that it's going to be that crazy.
From a context standpoint, I just don't think that we're facing anyone other than Notre Dame that's really vaunted on defense. And I kind of have to look at it like, yeah, we may not have an incredible offensive line, but I also don't think most of the defenses we're going to face this year are world beaters. I'm sure Iowa will be good. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I really don't know who to look at that I'm going to be like, man, they're great. I mean, Minnesota has some good pass rushers. I don't think they're going to necessarily be great against the run. So if we can run the football, okay. And if the passing game isn't a complete train wreck, I think we should be fine offensively. Now, do I expect the offense to be stretching the field and finding big pass plays and stuff? I don't necessarily see that. But I do think we'll be functional enough, and the defenses that we're facing are pretty mediocre, that we should be able to be a solid offense. If we had a stronger defensive stack of teams that we were facing this year, I would be more concerned about it. I just don't think there's going to be that many teams that can shut anybody down for that sake.
I hear that. But, you know, hey, we'll see. Well, the higher, the better. All right, Ryan, we're going to yards per game here. 365.5. 365.5. Let me give you a little context. So basically over the last four, since 21 to 2025, or 21 to 24, we averaged 366 for those 4 years. It was like 370, 360, 380, 350. Last year, the anomaly, 253 yards a game, 365.5, Ryan, over or under?
I'm going under. I a lot of my offense is probably going to be a little under or right on the mark. I'm just not as high on the answers that we know we have. I don't know. We don't know if we got a receiving room. We don't know what Colton Jones is going to look like. I think there's real questions on the offensive line. I'm going to go under. Again, I think it's better than last year, but I think there's some sneaky, not trying to play foiled to Justin's point, because I think his point is pretty salient, but I think there's some sneaky tough games defensively. I think going to UCLA could be tough. I think Minnesota's tough. Iowa's tough. USC coming in could be tough defensively. I'm going to go under. I just think there's more questions on the offensive side.
So looking at this offensively, honestly, you're probably breaking this. If we were to split this, we would probably say 200 yards passing, 166 yards rushing. I have a hard time saying over on that. I think if they can get to 160 rushing this year, I'm happy with the progress on it. Now, if they want to have a good year, I think they need to be above that. But I also don't know, like, I don't feel strongly that 200 yards a game is going to consistently happen passing. Like, this is a hard number. And maybe I'm too low on the rushing totals because, let's be honest, last year we didn't have a Colton Joseph and we still were at 120 almost. So if you have a quarterback that's capable of putting the defense in flux a little bit, the offense, our running game is going to be better no matter what because of that. Because you can't just, you know, crash down on the edge and close down the line. They have to keep an eye on him and make sure that he's not just taking off. So I think it's tough. I mean, you could look at this from 180 a piece, which is probably closer to where it may actually end up being, and you're still not above it. So I think I would probably say under on this, very, very slightly, but under.
I think if Colton Joseph's legs are as much of a weapon as I really think they will be, I think we can get a lot more yards than people expect. I think that one of the reasons that I think the scoring offense might be a little bit lower is just because I think our drives might stall, because when the O-line is not absolutely crushing it, I think that some of our drives could stall in the red zone. I think we will move the ball a little bit more. I'm still under on this, but barely. I put this, I wrote down 360, literally 360. That's why I wanted to go over. I wanted the discussion. I think that it's a good topic, but I do think it's gonna be better. And I think his legs and his rushing ability are gonna help us like move the chains more than we did last year. And that's gonna, you know, extend some of these yards. Okay, next up, rushing yards per carry. We're gonna set this, Justin, at 4.6 for context, 21 through 24. We averaged 4.65, right in the middle there. Last year, 3.3, of course, 4.6 yards per carry, Justin.
Ooh. I'm going to take the over on it because I think Joseph's going to play a role in this. I think you have to. Like, it's crazy to think that how we've consistently comfortably over 5 per carry with the old Badger teams. And now we're talking about this and we're like, man, 4.7 I need to get to. Yeah, I think they're going to get the over on this. I actually do think that Sama's going to have a really good year. I feel pretty strongly he's going to be over 5 yards a carry. I don't know what to make of the other guys in that room, which scares me a little bit. Because Dupree could be anywhere from 4.5 to like 5.5. And I have no idea what to make. He could actually be lower than that if the blocking's not great. And I don't think that Jackson is a guy that I look at and say, I can lean on him and he's got the burst that I can say he's a lock to be 5 yards a carry. I think there's going to be a lot of short yardage stuff with him where he's going to be like kind of a sledgehammer banging into a wall, trying to pick up 2 or 3 yards in situations where maybe I'll be surprised and he's more nimble than I was expecting. But I think it will be interesting to see what he averages on a per carry basis.
Yeah. I don't think I can take the under on the ones I've taken and then say they're going to get like 5 yards a carry because then they're going to score more and get more rushing yards. Like I got to go under here too, but I actually think they're going to be a lot better. I think this is the strength of the offense. I feel pretty good about the running game. I just kind of think the passing game has to be complementary. And if it's not, and I'm not sure it will be, if that's not complementary, you're going to struggle running for 4.8, 4.9, 5.0 per clip. I do think if this happens, the pathway is Colton Joseph's just an explosive dude, and he's going to have a bunch of chunk 40-yarders. He's going to have a 50-yarder. That's going to bump that up. But, guys, we look at this career yardage thing, right? Brian Jackson, I don't think he's going to break big ones. What's Darion Dupree's career yards per carry? Like, there's a lot to prove there. So it would really rest on Sama and Colton Joseph, and that's a lot for them to carry because you don't want your quarterback running a ton to try to lift that volume up. So I'm going to say under, but I'm going to say it's going to be a good rushing team. I am comfortable in that, but I'm going under.
Yeah, I think it's also going to be a good rushing team, which is why I'm actually going over on this. I feel pretty good about the over. I think Colton Joseph's yards per carry are going to be up there. I think the O-line, especially the right side of the O-line with like Mandel and Haywood, I think we'll be able to run to that side a little bit. I think Kwecki will be – we're not going to be great, but I do think we're going to get chunk plays running the football, right? That's what I really feel like is going to be a little bit different for us because we've got some really elite talent, Colton Joseph, Abu Sama, Darion Dupree, that can all run the ball well. I think that's the difference. Greg Lincecum, haven't seen Greg in a while, good to see you in the show here. Definitely over, run baby run. We also had Badger Mormons under 4.6 rushing yards. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good number, kind of right in the middle. By the way, if you ever want to get in touch with the show, you can email us at thebuckyreport@gmail.com. do that. We haven't really publicized that in a while, but I wanted to put it out there. Let us know, we'll respond to every email. You know, if you want to come on the show, if you want to talk about certain things, you want to put a longer take in there, get that on the show. You can also follow us Instagram, TikTok, all those social channels. We're trying to build that, all that stuff out. All right, next up, Ryan, we'll start with you on this one. Wisconsin's season turnover margin, okay? So, and it's going to be at minus 0.5, basically. So do you think we're going to have a positive or a negative turnover margin at the end of the season, Ryan?
I hate to be so negative on all of these. I think it's under as well. I think it's negative. And it's for a couple of reasons. I don't know if I trust our pass rush. We have a young secondary. And then you look at a quarterback that does have some decision-making questions in his background coming to the Big Ten. Listen, this team has to prove, I'll say this, Tressel and this defense have to prove they can force turnovers. And even last year with a relatively healthy defense, they were not able to do that. It's a brand new secondary, we'll see, but you're replacing Reiger and Darrell Peterson. Those are your two most disruptive guys. I'm going to say under as well on this one.
Yeah, I believe in this defense. I think they're going to have a good year, and it's not that I don't think that the offense is going to occasionally get a little loose with the football. I think they're going to have games where they're going to be hit or miss. But I do think that the defense is going to be really good. I expect us to win this by a couple. I don't expect it to be anything crazy over the top where we're like plus 10 or something like that. But I do think that they will find a way to be in the positive on this, especially I have to look at this through the context of what do I think we're going to have for a record? I think we're going to be over 500. And because of that, I think you're going to have to also force some turnovers if you want to accomplish that. And you're also going to probably on the season have to win the turnover battle to get to that point.
Yeah, I thought about this a lot. I think ultimately Mike Tressel's made it a point to talk about, you know, turnovers. It's the one thing that he really wants to push this year. And it's a stat that I think will drastically improve. Obviously, the reason that they got the secondary talent that they did was to produce more of this. Let's also say that Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano playing a full season versus only four games, he alone can generate turnovers. So I do think we're going to generate a lot. My concern is the production of turnovers ourself. And will we throw interceptions, fumbles, things like that? I honestly think this is going to be like minus one or zero. It's going to be so close. I'm officially going to say over on this because I think zero or maybe one. But I do, Justin, I agree with you. I think that we're going to force turnovers. I think Mason Posa playing a big role all season is going to force some. And our secondary, as both of you have said independently, is some of the most athletic guys we've ever had in the secondary. That should spell more turnovers. Ryan seems like he's skeptical, but it should, right?
It should.
Like,
yeah.
It could also lead to some inexperienced mistakes. And, you know, I'll tell you this, Rajiv, one of your favorite players in recent history in secondary was Preston Zachman.
Yeah.
He created turnovers not because he was a plus athlete, because he knew what to do, right? So there's layers here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I will say last year's corners were terrible. So, I mean, we'll be – even if it's just an athleticism bump, and Robinson is a guy who I think we'd all agree we feel confident in. Like he's legitimately put good film out there, and he's a better athlete than anybody we had playing corner last year. But I also think that a lot less is going to be asked of Joseph in this in terms of playmaking. Like it doesn't mean that he doesn't have that innate ability in him to go out there and make things happen. I just think there's going to be far less situations where he's going to have to force something to try and make a play happen, and more of it's going to be, hey, I ran around a little bit. Now this guy's wide open because somebody bailed on their coverage to try and, you know, keep him from breaking the edge type of situations, rather than I'm going to run around for 5 seconds like Fran Tarkenton and just wing it downfield 40 yards. I don't see that happening here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're moving on to Colton Joseph stuff. So this is going to be the next few. We're going to be all Colton Joseph stats. Obviously, you know, our big transfer quarterback. Hopefully there's a lot of success happening. We're going to start with yards, Justin. 2,250, so 2,450 and a half, 2,450 and a half. Where are you at with that?
I'm over.
Okay.
I actually think he's going to be productive. I'm looking at Ryan's facial expressions. I believe Ryan, I actually think
he's going to have to get over one of these.
I could be totally wrong on this, but I think he's going to come through with a strong fall, and I think it's going to play into the season. Now, I do have concerns about game one. I don't necessarily expect him to have a good game against Notre Dame, because I think those corners are going to be a problem in that game. And I question our receiver's ability to find real estate to make things happen. We're going to have to figure out how to run the football in that game, in my opinion. But after that, I think it just kind of loosens up. And I think there's going to be opportunity for him, especially in the play action game. If we can run the football at all, he's going to find opportunities where if we've done this right, I trust that. I still believe in Grimes' playbook, even if I didn't like the play calling last year. I legitimately think there's good plays there with a bump in talent and just things being more cohesive this year, that things work a lot better in the passing game.
Give me the number one more time.
2,450.
So if you saw me looking on the side, I was just trying to see where they put him last year. They put him like ninth in the Big Ten, right by Bryce Underwood, kind of in that range. I think that's doable. Like, I think there's going to be some deep shots. I've talked about the running game. I think they're going to be able to run, which is going to open a play action. I know, listen, we all know Colton's not afraid to let one fly. Mm-hmm. And there are some actual burners on the outside. I could see him getting over that. Like, the Notre Dame game could be really tough, but then you have two games where, quite frankly, those next two non-con games, if they do what they are possibly capable of doing, could blow all these overs out of the water. Like, they could set the high water mark. So, I'm going to go over on this. I do think Colton Joseph, while not always the most efficient, is going to connect on some big plays.
Folks, Ryan went over. I was worried that we might not ever get one of those. Yeah, I'm taking the over here as well. 2450s. Because I listen, if you ask me, is he going to get 2,800 yards? No. But is he going to get 2,500 yards? Yeah. That's basically 200 yards a game. I'm pretty confident that he's going to have, like you said, the deep shots. Things are going to just open up. Like I do really believe that. And if the rushing attack is what we expect it to be, that's going to open up the passing game. Like that's football 101, right? So that's going to happen. You guys mentioned that. But okay. Next, Colton Joseph is rushing yards, Ryan. 550 rushing yards for Colton Joseph.
That's a really good number. I am going to say under, but it's not certainly not for the lack of ability or anything like that. I don't think you want him running for 500 plus yards in the Big Ten, because no matter how smart you are, that means you are taking some big shots, and he's not Cam Newton. Like, he's not the biggest dude in the world, and you have four running backs you literally brought in this offseason, right? And you have multiple tight ends. You have an offensive line that makes sense. I think it's more about the efficiency and picking your points with Colton Joseph than 500 plus rushing yards. He's certainly capable of it if they wanted him to do it. If Jeff Grimes had Colton Joseph on his fantasy team, yeah, he could get 800 yards, but hopefully he doesn't. I'm going to say under, but I think it's because they got to be smart with him.
Okay, Justin.
So do you know what the Big Ten leader was for quarterbacks rushing last year?
I don't have that up, okay. But I...
I'm curious whoever was actually led the conference in that stat. Yeah, I think 600 is doable with this. With the question that you have to ask yourself with a stat like this is, do you think there's going to be a couple of games where he kind of gets loose? Because you're probably going to need him to have a couple of 100-yard rushing games.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are going to be a couple of those games that happen on this. Do I think it's going to be far over 550? No. I think 650 is probably the ceiling I'd put on it. I think anything more than that, you're kind of like, unless he just goes crazy and is just breaking huge runs all season long, I don't see that happening. And I don't know that we feel good enough about the offensive line to expect that type of running from him, where he's just going to get loose and have guys downfield helping him out. So I think I would go over. I don't think it's going to be substantially more, but I do think that there's going to be a game or two that helps him get to this point.
The Monarchs, for by the way, 611 led the Big Ten. Sorry.
And then 545 was number two with Mark Gronowski, was 545 with Iowa.
Yeah, that's right. I think we can beat that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go over on this as well. I just kind of feel like he's going to break a couple. I think you said it, Justin, a couple 100-yard rushing games, and that's going to be an easy number to hit if he breaks out. Like if Western whoever and Eastern whoever were playing, like I feel like those games, why couldn't he get 150 yards rushing in those games? I mean, I'm not saying he's going to, but it's possible. But yeah, it's going to be tight. But I think he is what I feel like I've noticed in some things that I've heard, like they are really going to use this to their advantage. Like he is going to run the ball. They are going to scheme things for him to do that. It's not going to be a ton. They're not going to try to get the guy injured. But I mean, Jeff Grimes said it in one of his press conferences in the spring, like he's a talented guy. We've got to use that. Like, why would we not use that talent? Right. Like, and I think they're going to. Okay. Next up for him, I'm going to start with you, Ryan, on this one. I'm curious your take on this. This is completion percentage for Colton Joseph, which has been an issue, of course, in the past. 61.5.
Under. Yeah, I'm taking the under on this. I actually was looking, like, there's not a lot of guys that jump a level of competition and their completion percentage increases. I know there's context and I know there's layers. I know he's taking deep shots. He was also playing Old Dominion level opponents. And go look at what he did when he played some of the better teams on their schedule. It wasn't good from a completion percentage. Like, I don't think you just suddenly go from that to now you're in the Big Ten. And yeah, they're not playing Ohio State, Michigan. We talked about it. You're still playing Penn State, Iowa. You're still playing Notre Dame. You're still playing Minnesota. You're still going to play in some weather games right in the Big Ten that he didn't necessarily have to play in last year. I think it's about what it was last year, which is under this. And again, I think he can do that. I think he can do that and be a really good quarterback for Wisconsin because he's going to add with his legs. And there's a lot of other things he's going to give you, but I'm taking the under on this.
Before Justin goes, I'm taking the under as well. I know where Justin's going to go. And I think his rationale is very fair just because, like, when you look at the things that he's done, the passes that he made. But I think it's, and I've said this before, I think it's slightly under, like 59, 60%. I don't think it's going to really go backwards. I think that the passing game that he employs will, in essence, cause it to increase, balanced out by the fact that he's playing a much better defense. So that's why I think it pretty much, holds kind of where it was. But I would say 59-60, that's where I'm at. So slightly under, Justin.
Yeah, I think to me it's a substantially different playbook, and the expectations of what's being asked of him is far different. When I went back and watched that Virginia Tech game for him, I was kind of in shock at how infrequently he had a safety valve on a play where you're like, where's this guy that just curls 5 yards upfield that he can dump it off to? I'm looking at him like, everybody's 10 yards down. Like, even the guy that's supposed to be a safety valve is over 10 yards downfield. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, I know it's a shot offense and they're big on shock plays, but I'm like, for the life of me, I don't understand why you never gave him somebody that you could, that you gave him options to throw short to if he had to. He does take a lot of shots downfield. I think that's going to be curtailed a little bit here. I think we're going to have a lot more where it's like, take the profit type situations with him this year, where it's like, hey, if it's first down, you don't need to throw 15 yards downfield. Take the 5 yards, set us up so we're ahead of the chains, and we can get the running game rolling here. And you're going to get opportunities to take bigger shots where you catch a guy who's sleeping or looking in the backfield and somebody breaks open. But I don't expect him to be looking remotely deep as much as what I saw in some of his footage, where I'm like, I don't know what they're doing schematically here, but it's crazy to me that they're not giving opportunity to these guys, to him, to give him some higher percentage plays. And some of it was probably they felt like they had better athletes than who they were playing Old Dominion last year. But man, it just from an efficiency standpoint, it kind of made my head hurt watching some of the play calling.
One thing I throw out there really quick on just this one is, I should say this, I almost said coaches aren't dummies. Some coaches are dummies, but most coaches, like, they kind of know what they have in players. And you just have to take a step back, and this is where my brain goes, well, why weren't they doing some of those things with Colton Joseph? It might be because trying to turn him into a more efficient, shorter passer, that's not him. And some quarterbacks just aren't. I'm not saying he can't, and I'm not saying ODU did him favors, but there's probably a reason the coaching staff game plan the way they did them.
I think that's well said. That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that. The chat's pretty split on here. Will Hannes is a few of you are grossly underestimating his downfield attempts at Old Dominion. Will, he goes on to say, I agree with Justin on this 100%. Good friend Doc says playbook and scheme will help his percentage. And yeah, I mean, I think that you can definitely look at this in many different ways. I just sort of feel like it's just going to be slightly under, but I think it's going to be good. I will say, of all the stats that Colton Joseph generates in the first few weeks of the year, this will be one that we're going to talk about, because it was the one stat that we've talked a lot about from Old Dominion, that will it travel here? Will it get better? Will it get worse? If it gets worse, then that's a whole nother situation. Okay.
This one feels like there needs to be a bet on the season for something.
I'm not going to bet for him to be under 61. Like, this goes back to the Regime thing, where he'll bet on the bad.
Well, like, all right, we won't bet on it. We will have a tracker that goes over the season 100%. That kind of sees, is he going to be above this? And we'll do weekly updates on completion percentage for him.
I mean, I'm all about him being better. Like, no, nothing would be cooler to me if he's like 64-65%.
What was the number? 61.5?
61.5.
All right. So we're going to have the tracker. We're going to do the race for 61.5. And just we'll track him each week and see if he stays above it.
We are definitely going to come back to these, and we're gonna like make notes on what these were and kind of come back to them, and we'll have it. We'll kind of review, because I think it's interesting to come back and look at some of these takes later. Okay, two more for him, the big ones, the numbers that you always look at for quarterbacks. We'll start with passing touchdowns, Justin, 17.5.
Oh, man, so much of this leans on those week two and week three games. Like, he could be so set for the season if he has like 3 touchdowns in each of those games, but he could also be out of the game by midway through the third quarter if things really go well and we're running the football well. So it's so hard to look at this. I know they'll throw the football in those games, because this is not like Paul Christ. Grimes will throw the football. He'll do whatever he feels comfortable with the way the game's playing out. It's the biggest takeaway I've seen from when you dig back into him, is he's had quarterbacks that have had a ton of attempts. I honestly think that he's probably going to be, oh man, I'm going to take the under on this. Like, and I don't feel strongly in that. I think that there is definitely a way that this plays out where he gets the over and fairly comfortably. But I also have to look at it from the standpoint of how well do I see this offense coming together? And that's a big number for a Badger quarterback when we haven't really seen any evidence to prove that it's going to happen.
I'm under as well. But it's close. But I think the interesting thing with Colton, right, it's I think that's a really good number to start with. I think he's at like 15, 16, and Justin's totally right. Those non-cons can push it either way. But total touchdowns, he's going to be over 20, right? Yeah. And when you look at the true value of a guy like Colton Joseph, you know, you can say under this, but I think he's going to give you four rushing touchdowns too. So he's a total package, which I'm really excited about, but I'm going to go under on this, really, really slight under. I think 15, 16 is the number, but yeah, I'm going to go under.
Okay. Let's, so I'm officially going to go under on this as well. I think it's going to be 16 ish, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if it was over, and I hope it is. And I put up the schedule there for a minute too, because I think that when you look at the back half of the schedule, the Rutgers, Maryland, Purdue stretch, it's not just those first two games, theoretically, that he can – there's some number padding that can happen. I think those three games are also potentially – not saying we're going to blow those teams out, but they're not great defenses. UCLA is not a good defense either. We're going to have opportunities against teams that are just not that great defensively compared to our last year's schedule where damn near everyone was good defensively.
What I'll say to that is if the only problem I would say with that is if the offense actually takes a step running the football, that could greatly dictate how those games play out. If we're a good rushing team, you're going to lean on the running game. And that's, we'll see. This is the one thing with Grimes we have no clue on. How does he react inside the red zone with throwing the football? Because we've seen how Paul Chris was. He really didn't like to do it. He wanted to run it down teams' throats and get it in the end zone that way. I want to see what Grimes chooses to do in those circumstances because I have no clue. Like, he could have 25 touchdown passes, and it could be because when we get inside of 15, whatever the defense is stacking up, he's willing to work with it and just say, all right, we're going to throw the football. They're clearly setting up for the run. We have guys we think that can at least win one-on-one on a given play.
The back half of the schedule could also have some weather stuff, though, too.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Fair point. Okay, interceptions, Ryan. 8.5 is the over-under Colton Joseph interceptions. What are your thoughts?
8.5. What do you have last year at ODU?
9, I think.
Yeah.
Or was 9, it 11? What
was it?
I'm going to say under. I do think they put him in less risky spots this year. And while I don't think the completion percentage necessarily goes up, I think there is an element of when you're at a lower level and you're like the dude, I mean, you're the alpha, you are trying to just force dots, make things happen. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, 2 or 3 of those picks happened at Indiana. Game one of their season, the best team in college basketball or college football. So I'm going to say under on that. Running game helps. I think being in a better system helps. And I do think, to Justin's point, they're going to put him in safer spots. So give me the under on this one.
Hey, another positive one from Ryan. How about that?
Wait till we get to defense. Then I'm going to call.
I think it's 10, I believe, is the interceptions that he had. Okay. But yeah, so I'm going under as well. I think that Jeff Grimes is going to take, I put the group, not much I can add. I think Ryan, you said it right. Like, he's going to be in better situations. I don't think we're going to be a team that's going to like sling the ball in spots where he really can't do it. Like, this defense, this offense is going to have to be more methodical, more deliberate about what they're doing. They're going to have to be solid, but they don't need to be risky, because risky is going to put our defense, which is the strength of our team, in some tough situations. You don't need to do that. I've often said on the show this summer already, like, every drive, if we can just get across the 50 and then we can like start to work, we need to let our defense do what they're going to do. We just have to be a somewhat efficient offense. And I think that by doing that, we're going to place a high premium on forcing turnovers and a high premium on not turning the ball over. So I'm going to go under on this as well. Okay. Let's move on now to some stat leaders.
Do I get to answer this one?
Oh, I'm sorry. My fault.
Yeah, I'm under on this for a couple of reasons. I don't think it's going to be substantially lower, but I agree kind of with Ryan. 5 of his interceptions, if I'm not mistaken, happen against Indiana and JMU. So 2 playoff teams. He does a fairly good job of taking care of the football. I do think they're going to be attack far less in this offense. We've talked about the mesh routes and stuff like that, a lot of rub routes and stuff like that that he likes to do. And those are not conducive to a lot of interceptions normally, provided guys run good routes. Typically, you're going to have a step on your guy and you just have to put out in front of him and let him run into it. That situation and a lot of hooks, like, he's going to be throwing to those tight ends, which is, I think, why everyone feels pretty good about the production from those two positions, is that we feel pretty good about those guys being able to kind of box off a defender and just give easy throws. I think that that's going to help him out a great deal in those circumstances. Really, what it's going to come down to is if he's throwing it up deep, does he actually put his ball placement on that? Like, you have to be able to throw to the outside shoulder on a guy and let him go get it, where if he misses or it's overthrown, it's hitting the ground. You can't throw it to the inside where the defender is going to be able to turn their back and box off the receiver. Okay. So I feel pretty good about that. I think it's going to probably be like 7, 8, but it's going to be close to that number, I would guess.
Will Hannes is over 8.5. My early prediction has been 21 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. Okay, that's fair. All right, let's get into a couple skill positions and move on to defense. Abu Sama, rushing yards, 825, Justin. 825 rushing yards. Where are you at?
I'm over on this, and I feel fairly comfortable.
Wow, comfortable.
I think that if he stays healthy this year, I feel pretty good about I feel better about the offensive line here. I just think they're going to be solid. It doesn't mean they're going to be incredible, but I think when we saw, you know, Braylon get to 1,200 yards, somewhere in that range, like, I think that with solid offensive line play, they're going to do it in different ways than what Braylon did it. I think he's just better at finding space. And I actually think that he's going to be in that 1,100, 12. I actually think he's going to get a healthy portion of the carries. It's going to be, to me, I think like 65, 70%. And if that's the case, I think he's going to have a really strong year.
I'm going over. I don't think it's they do want to use different backs this year, right? They brought these guys in for a reason. And you got to look at Abu Sama, his history. He's never been a bell cow guy. Now, it's because he's had really good co-starters there. Like, Hansen is at Penn State now. He's in really good backfields, but he's never been asked to carry this type of load. So that is a question mark. But I think he is clearly kind of the number one guy. But just talking to the running backs coach Everett, you know, he wants to use Jackson. He wants to use Dupree. He likes Palmer. So they're going to mix it up and there's going to be a rotation, but I just think Sama clearly is kind of in that lead role. And I also, again, believe in this running game. So I think he finishes with like 900, 950, somewhere in that range, just under 1,000.
What do you guys think is going to be the overall team yardage for the year?
For the entire offense or just the rushing offense?
For the entire offense. Like, if you're going to say rushing total for Wisconsin this year, as a team, where do you guys think we're going to be? To give you some perspective on this, I think last year, because we just had the USC show, Rajiv, they had 2,200 yards. They were only at 169.7. So if we're actually decent running the football, like, you could, there's an avenue here where you could say 180 yards is in play. I don't think we're going to be over 200 unless the offensive line is just incredible this year running the football. But I think 180 is in play. That would be like the higher end of solid to good if they get to that point.
Yeah. I mean, I agree over. I really listen. I honestly can't see another season where a Badger doesn't get 1,000 yards. I can't. It's kind of like a thing that we need. Okay. I need that. It's like, I need 1,000 yard rusher. And I believe we're going to have 1,000 yard rusher. I do think Abu Sam is going to break 1,000 this year. I really do. I think that it's just that, again, I've made comments about the O-line. If there's injuries, then all this number goes out the window because I don't think there's a ton of depth there. But I do think with the guys out there, it's going to be better. And I think we are committing. Jeff Grimes is committing to running the football. And the theme so far, the identity, when you hear Fickell talking on the ESPN Madison and other places, like, it's toughness, it's discipline. Like, that he's been trying to build this, like, this whole thing about toughness and violence into this team for 4 years. And I think this is the first year we're going to see a bit of nasty coming from those guys. So I have my concerns overall, but I do think we're going to have a rushing attack. That's going to be really good. And I think Abu Sama is going to be that bell cow. I think he's ready to show the NFL what he can do. Like you mentioned, Ryan, he hasn't really been that guy at his previous schools. I think he will do that. And I think he wants to show that, right? Like, this is his year to put out on film what he can do at the next level. And I think he's about to go off. So I'm going to say 1,000 for him. We're not going to say who the leading receiver is going to be because we've had that discussion before and we know none of us seem to agree on that. So whoever the leading receiver is, Ryan, 675 yards for that leading receiver, whether it's Hilton, whether it's, you know, whoever it is, Henry or DiMaggio, 675 yards over or under for our leading receiver.
To me, that's kind of an to me, that's kind of an easy under. I just think there's too many weapons. You're going to run the ball. When you're starting to look at Colton Joseph and the over-unders we set for him, whether you're over or under on the passing yardage, if you're going to assume 600 plus of that goes to one guy, I just think that that's not how this offense is going to be structured. I don't think that's how the depth chart is going to work, and I just don't see that happening. This is the one number I think I'm instantly like, yeah, I'm definitely mm-hmm. under that.
To me, for this one, I feel like this is going to be the sum is better than the individual pieces. I don't think we're going to have anybody that's that high. So I'm taking the under on this, but I think that you can make the argument for a bunch of guys going to be in that 300 to 450 mm-hmm. range. And I think that that's kind of where we get uncomfortable. And it could be we've talked about it numerous times. It could be a tight end. Like, it would not shock me in the slightest to see somebody go off for 450 yards at tight end. That's not a huge number. And I think it's a possibility. I mean, it takes really one big game and then just the rest of the season having like 30 or 40 yards receiving a game. So I think that that's a possibility. I think if there's going to be a guy that's going to do it, I think it's going to be DiMaggio. I just have a vibe on him that I think he's going to have a strong fall and he's going to be the guy that kind of takes that room. But I don't see anybody that I feel confident in saying that this is going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys here. I mean, I feel like it wouldn't surprise me one bit. I really want to say over, but I do think the spread's going to be out there. I do think you're going to see some tight ends. You're going to see a couple tight ends. You're going to see four or five wide receivers in the mix. It could be Hilton. It could be DiMaggio. It could be Chris Brooks. It could be Harris. It could be Steck. It could be Bork. There's so many people that could be a threat receiving Dupree out of the backfield. Like, there's going to be a lot of weapons. I think that's the reason it's under. But it wouldn't surprise me either if I'm here. You know, Colton Joseph appears to have got a good relationship with his tight ends. I think if someone is going to do this number, I think it would be a tight end, actually, if someone's going to hit the 675.
That would be a big year
from a tight end. Well, but I think that, like, again, if Jeff Grimes' offense works the way that we expected it to, and we wanted to see it last year, we're hoping it's this year, I think you're going to see a lot of that over-the-middle type stuff really work. So it's possible. Okay, let's go to defense now. We've got five defensive ones before we finish up with some rapid fire. Ryan, I'll start with you on this one. Points allowed per game, 20.5, 20.5.
I'm going under. I think this defense is going to be solid. I do question a little bit the inexperience in the secondary, and that can lead to some big shot plays. I think there are some teams that will take advantage of that. But overall, the athleticism also plays up there. I like the numbers of bodies they have on the defensive line. You got two stars at inside linebacker. Someone's going to have to hit the quarterback, but they got some real athletes on the edges. And then the schedule lines up. There's not a ton of really good quarterbacks and offenses you're playing this year. I think this one is under. And by the way, the running game is going to play into that as well. Shorter games. I think teams are going to have less possessions. Yeah. Give me the under on this one relatively comfortably.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm going comfortably on this one. I'm less concerned about the secondary. I think that they will – ultimately, I think the athleticism is going to help them hide some of that inexperience. They're going to be more athletic than most of the wide receiver rooms that they play against. These are premium guys. They were guys who were four stars. The reason they were four stars is athleticism. West was a freak athlete. You know, Kai Bates was a freak athlete. Fletcher is one of the fastest guys on the team and is like 6'2 or 6'3 almost. If he's healthy this year, he has a chance to kind of get in that room. And that's before even getting a guy like Jahmyr Scott, who had a really, really strong spring. I feel pretty darn good about their ability to hold down passing games. Now, it's not going to be perfect. I don't think they're going to shut teams down through the air, but I do think they're going to make them really uncomfortable. And I actually feel really good about the front seven. I think we're going to have one of the better front sevens in the conference. I don't look at the defensive line and think they're going to be significantly, you know, incredible. But I think the linebackers are. I think the linebackers have a chance to be in the discussion for the best group in the entire conference. And I think that that's going to be ultimately what separates them and keeps them to being able to hold teams down.
We do have very, very good linebackers. And I'm going to do a quick tangent to bring up something that came up around that made the rounds this week on Twitter. Our good friend over the Big Ten Huddle, JR. JR did his top 100 players in the Big Ten, and there were no Badgers on it, and there were 9 Gophers. JR. Now, listen, I texted JR immediately, and I've been giving him a lot of shit for this. But Mason Posa was third team all Big Ten last year
and in five games,
four games, and had led the team in tackles, and he was third team all Big Ten. And you know what else, JR? Every single person that was a linebacker on that Big Ten team that came back, they're all on your list. Actually, I don't even know if that's true, but I know no one is missing except for Mason Posa. That's bananas, man. You cannot tell me that Mason Posa is not one of the 100 best players in the Big Ten. You need to clip that, and I'm gonna just send this directly to him, because that man is. I love JR. I hope he's wrong, and he's very open to coming on a show and saying, "Okay, I was wrong. Mason Posa belongs on that list," because we absolutely have one of the top linebackers in the Big Ten, if not even higher than that. Regarding this stat, under is absolutely it. I'm not as comfortable as the two of you are. Like, you're both comfortable with it. I don't know about comfortable, because there are some really big offenses on this schedule: Notre Dame, USC, Penn State, maybe. But we'll see. I'm bullish on the defense for sure. But I don't know about comfortably 20 and a half. Turnovers has been a big stat, big something that we clearly need. Ryan, 20 and a half. Sorry, no, 14 and a half forced turnovers. 14,
like, sorry. Whoa.
I was looking at my sheet. I was looking at the points.
We're tripling last year.
Forced turnovers, 14 and a half, Ryan.
14 and a half. The Badgers had 6 last year, correct?
That's right, which is woeful.
So, you know, it's really interesting. If you look at historical trends year to year, turnovers forced, there's a lot of randomness to it. You know, like you pop up 2 balls on tip passes. One year, your defense lineman intercepts both. The next year, he doesn't. You fall on a fumble or you don't. The football's a weird shape. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. So there's a lot of randomness on that. However, you did lose your most disruptive guy, and all due respect to Posa and Catalano, I think Reiger was your most disruptive guy in the front 7 last year. I'm going to go under on this. I think it's better. I think it's better than last year. Last year was just statistical ridiculousness, but I don't know if there's a ball hawk in the secondary. Like, I love Robinson coming in. He hasn't traditionally been a ball hawk. Marvin Burks hasn't traditionally been a ball hawk. Matt Young has not traditionally been a ball hawk. What are your turnover spots typically? It's typically safeties, and it's typically edge. We don't know who our dominant edge guy is, and we don't have a ball hawk that we know of at the safety spot. I think they're better. I like this defense. I'm going under on this until somebody can show me that they're a ball hawk in the secondary.
Yeah, I'm going over on it. It's not going to be a lot. I would probably say 16. I think that puts us at 1.5 a game. I just think that it's nearly impossible to have last year repeat itself. And I just think that, number one, I think the luck will be better. But number two, I actually think, while you don't have somebody individually as much as Reiger, I actually think that Posa, when you saw him come into our defense, he made everyone else look better. And I think that that's what we're going to see this year, is that you're going to see other guys get loose and make plays, because teams are going to freak out and try to scheme to him. They're going to try to scheme to hit both him and Cooper. And I think part of what they're going to do, we've heard them talk about this already, is they're going to let him freelance. And that's going to put teams in flux, because when he starts moving around and you have no clue where he's going, suddenly guys start freaking out a little bit about what they're supposed to do on a given play. And that leads to some, you know, maybe a guy sneaks through unblocked. Quarterback gets lit up and fumbles. You know, running back gets lit up because a guy chooses to sell out and try to take out Posa, and somebody sneaks through on the backside, or they stunt guys or something. I just think that the luck aspect of this is going to play in their favor. And I actually think athletically, I just think the windows are going to get smaller, which is going to help a lot in terms of the secondary turnovers. I don't know if anybody's totally a ball hawk, but I do think that it's going to get tighter. And I think guys are going to just have some luck in terms of where the ball is going to kind of fall in their lap a little bit more so than what we've seen in the past.
It would be nice to have some luck. We deserve that a little bit after last year. MB Anderson says 14 would have been 11th in the conference last year. Will Hannes is over 14 and a half. You brought up some good points here. Obviously the luck is an element of it, but also Mason Posa being a ball hawk, like you said, Ryan, the safeties that causes turnovers, but also just overall disruption that those particular linebackers can bring will also cause turnovers. I think Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano can cause 5-6 turnovers themselves by just getting in the backfield, disrupting plays, forcing the quarterback into difficult situations. You know, sack fumbles, I think, are going to be a thing. I think there's going to be a lot more just overall disruption on this team coming from the linebackers, coming from the edges, coming from, you know, secondary blitzes as well. But I think over. And again, I do think it matters that it's a big focus for this coaching staff. Like, you know, your players are going to focus on things that the coaches are like, clearly this is a factor. This is something we really need to work on. And I think that's a message that the coaches have been saying for a while now is turnovers. That's going to matter. I think we're going to get over there. Okay, let's go to rush yards allowed per game. This is being set at 125.5. And just for some context, last year we allowed 105.2. The year before that, we allowed 165 and 135 the year before that. So just in 125.5 yard rush yards allowed per game.
I'm going under. And the reason I'm looking at that is, yeah, you have an Iowa on there. Yeah, there's a couple other teams that are going to run the ball. I don't necessarily know that Minnesota's figured it out and can run the football again yet. They've been broken the last couple of years. But I also think you have teams like Rutgers, Purdue, and those you know, East-West teams that we're seeing that I just think those are going to be games where you have like 60 yards rushing or 50 yards rushing you give up. It's going to give you some room for error against some of those teams that put up more. And I like maybe I'm wrong on this. Notre Dame could certainly go for 200-plus against us and just shock us. I'm hoping that's not the case, but they absolutely are capable of it. But I think we probably finish closer to like 115, which would be a good number, but it's not elite.
Yeah, I'm going to smash the under on this one. Again, I'm pretty bullish on this defense for the most part. I like the size. Go look at how many 300-pounders they got in the front seven. And then you got kind of this iron triangle, right, with Coop, with Posa, and a guy like Big Perko in the middle. Like, you're just not going to run easily against two inside linebackers that have the instincts of a hunter that's been in the field for 30 years. Those guys just see football a different way. They're incredible. So, I Matt Young is an in-the-box safety. Burks can come downhill. By the way, a couple of the cornerbacks you picked up are tremendous tacklers. Something gets spilled to the outside, those guys are going to trip people up. I think you factor in what Mitchell's done recently, last couple of years, what Tressel's done the last couple of years, a ton of size and bodies in the front seven, two studs in the inside and safeties that can come down and blow you up. Yeah, this is under for me.
Go ahead, Justin.
And what I was going to say on this is the first season we've looked at it where you can legitimately look at this group and say he can borderline go 400-300-pounders across if he wants to against a given team. Justice Boone, if you want to go under, a guy with a little bit more mobility is 280, but you could easily put some massive edges out there in Garner and then two big boys in the middle and then have a guy on the edge and then just let the linebackers flow. And there's going to be teams that struggle with that because you're just not going to be able to push those guys around much.
Can we just say iron triangle? That's a great, well said, Ryan. I like that. Like the big Perko like and then Cold the War linebacker. Has- I love it. I love it. I think that's great. Yeah, listen, I'm totally with you on this. I just feel like we're going to have a 105, 110-ish rush yards allowed per game. I think that some of the better teams are going to, I mean, USC is going to commit to run the ball. We learned that this past week. And, you know, Lincoln Riley's going to do that. I think, obviously, Notre Dame's going to do that. And there's a lot of teams on our schedule that are going to do that. I also think that QB guys like the, you know, like the Maryland guy, and there's a couple other QBs that I think are going to get out there and cause us some problems. But, yeah. We've got the size up front. We got the speed up front. We can shuffle our, as you said, Justin, we can shuffle our entire line in many different ways. I agree. We're going to go under on this. All right. Two more guys. Then we'll get to our rapid fire. Some crazy fun ones here. Let's go sacks, Ryan. Total defensive sacks, 25.5.
Remind me what our number was last year.
27 last year, 13 the year before, 23 the year before that.
I feel like this is under. I don't know. I think this is partially under again because I do think the game scripts are a little different this year. I think the games are going to be shortened a little bit by our ability to control the clock. I don't know if we have a dominant pass rusher. I think that does matter. Reiger and Peterson last year were awesome. You know, Peterson, especially down the stretch. But Reiger opened it up for Peterson. And I don't know if you have a guy that opens things up for other people. You could get more out of Post and Coop for sure. I just don't know how much you're going to get to offset the loss of some of the edge guys. I like some of the young pieces, and I could be deadly, totally wrong if a Clayton breaks out or somebody else or a Cheeks has a really good year. But I'm going to say under a little bit on this one.
I'm going to go comfortably over on this. And the reason why I'm going to say that is we had 27 last year, and I realized we lost some pieces. We also had the toughest schedule in the entire country last year. which was a big factor in terms of hurting that pass rush. I actually think they get to like the 32 range. I think it's going to be close to almost three a game. There's just not a lot of teams like athletically. I think we really like the athleticism of our edges. And I feel like I do think Posa translates. I think that he's going to be borderline. He's probably not getting double digits this year, but he's going to be a problem. They're going to use him in the way that we've used some of our other middle linebackers and let him just shoot gaps. And I think that that's going to lead to him being at like 8, maybe 9 sacks by the end of the season, because he's just so adept at just getting by people and finding room to make space and make plays.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on this, Justin. Comfortably over for me. I think that the, and you said it, the offensive lines we're going to face, other than the three games that we've talked about, the big ones we've previewed already. I did an interview with the UCLA guy today for this upcoming Know Your Foe this week. And yeah, man, like their offensive line is very skeptical. And they're one of the teams that could be breaking out with the James Madison coach and these things. There's a lot of lines, the Maryland line, Purdue line, Rutgers line. We're going to be able to get, if our defense is good, as the three of us think it is, and we all have talked about how good this is going to be, there's going to be disruption, there's going to be pressure, and I think it's comfortably over as well. I think it's a 30-sack season for this defense. That's where I'm at. Okay, last one, guys, the big one, the number one over-under you can have out there. Vegas has put it out there many times, over and under, 6.5 wins. I'll start first, and we'll go to Ryan and then Justin. It's over, because if it's not over, I honestly don't know how I'm going to continue to talk about Badgers. I can't deal with another season where we're not bowl eligible. It's 6.5 over. Yes, 7 wins. I've said it all season, all summer. It's the minimum requirement for Luke Fickell, in my opinion. 7 wins. You got to get there. You got to find a way to win some of these important games. 7 is the number that I would say as the minimum. So I'm going over 6.5 wins. Ryan.
Over. Now, listen, though, I think Badger fans are a little too laissez-faire on the schedule. Like, it's a little there's still tough 50-50 games on here. It's not an easy schedule, but it is so much easier. I think the team's better. You got to have some luck this year from the injury standpoint. Yeah, this is over, guys. I think I could see a season where they get 7. I think that's totally realistic, but I think they get 8. I'm over on this one as well. Let's go, Badgers.
Yeah, I'm over. I'm going to be cautious with this because I've gotten kicked in the nuts the last couple seasons with my projections. I'm going to say 7-5. I do think that there are a few routes here where you look at it and you're like, if the team really substantially improves, 8 or even 9 wins are in play, but we have to see it first. And I think that looking at the schedule, if 7-5 gives you a couple of games where you kind of have you trip yourself up, and lose a game you shouldn't, and maybe you get one you should, or maybe you get one you shouldn't. I think 7-5 is, I feel pretty comfortable in seeing that number just based off the schedule. I think you look at it, it really doesn't take them winning a ton of coin flip games to get to that, which I think helps them in this. Like, they could lose every tough game they have and get to 7-5 yet. Mm-hmm.
And over. You got to win the games you're supposed to win, which always is difficult for sure. We've got some fun rapid fire ones we're going to do quickly, though. Just a reminder of upcoming content. We've got the UCLA Know Your Foe coming up this week. We've got Big Ten Media Days coming up on Tuesday. I'll be doing some podcasts directly from the room in Chicago. And of course, we've got fall camp starting on August 6th. So we're going to do a Media Days wrap next week. We're going to get into fall camp. Then we're going to do our camp stock up, stock down. And of course, our final two shows, as always, preseason superlatives, and then going into our official season prediction show. So lots of fun stuff coming up on the Bucky Report. Go follow us on all the platforms. If you're still listening to this, hit that like button. It's really helpful for the show. Okay, guys, you do not know these numbers yet. Rapid fire. Give me the over or under and up to one sentence on your if you really want to about your thoughts. Otherwise, that's right. I'm talking to you.
I know that's directed at me.
I'm talking to you, Justin. Okay, here we go. So we're going to, for each one of the, I'll start with one of you and then go to the other one after that person finishes. Rapid fire, over and under. Ryan, games scoring at least 30 points, 4.5.
Under.
Over.
Ooh, we're already splitting it. I think it's over as well, because there's a lot of teams that we should score 30 points against, for goodness sakes. But there's teams that we're not going to score a lot much at all. Okay. Games holding the opponent below 20 points, Justin, 6.5.
Over. I believe in the defense.
Over. I believe in this defense. Over.
Okay. I believe I'm over as well. Okay. Ryan, receiving touchdowns by tight ends, 5.
Under. I can't go more than 5 with the over-under I gave Colton Joseph passing touchdowns.
We're going collectively. I'm going to say over. I think it's going to be close to that, but I go over.
Okay. I really want to push this, but we're not allowing pushes. So I'm going to say over officially, because I think 5 is right where we're going to be with this. Okay. Justin, we'll start with you on this one. Times Wisconsin reaches jump around while leading. Okay. 4.5.
Over.
Okay. Now remember, these are home games only.
Does the Lambeau game count?
Yeah, the Lambeau game definitely counts. So this
that's
is a home
an away
game
though. So that
I'm just saying.
No, I'm just looking at it from the context of it's not going to count as the one of the 6.
So remember, it's like, you know, you got the Western Illinois, Eastern Michigan, you got a Michigan State, you got SC, you got Rutgers, you got Minnesota, 4.5.
I'm gonna say over. I mean, the non-con definitely helps here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's over, but not because of that.
I'm with you on that one. Okay. This number, we'll go with you, Ryan. This number is 1.5. Okay. Times the collective audience of our fans chant Fire Fickle. 1.5.
Over. Like fan like this is fans in 2026 in college football we're talking about. It's gonna be over.
You think collectively we're going to hear Fire Fickle more than once?
I think you lose one game, you're going to hear Fire Fickle. Okay. Like, that's all where right. The fan base is at.
If they have an uncompetitive game, we will hear it absolutely. We'll hear probably at Notre Dame. If Notre Dame is a good game, we're absolutely going to hear it there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's under here. I don't really feel like we're going to hear what we heard last year and like the entire Camp Randall just yelling Fire Fickle. Oh. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I misunderstood. I thought you meant like the context around people on Twitter, fans.
No, I'm actually talking about like the fans in Camp Randall yelling Fire Fickle.
I think that's under then. Sorry. Okay. I misunderstood the context.
All right. That's fair. But maybe it wasn't explained that well. Justin, do you change your answer?
No, because I know our student section. And the second we get down in a game by 2 scores, they're going to lose their crap.
That's also fair. That's also fair.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fair. Okay. 2 more, guys. So Justin, we'll come to you on this one. Number of fake punts or fake field goal attempts, 1.5.
Under. I think it'll happen once.
Yeah, under. Sorry.
If I made it 0.5, would you say over?
I would say over. I think they'll have 1.
Yeah, I'd probably go over. But like Fickle is historically an incredibly conservative coach. I think you've only seen it recently because this program has been so desperate for anything. I think that's an under.
One of those wasn't intentional last year.
Also true.
I think it's over. I think we'll see two. Okay, and this is the last one and probably the most important one. Over and under. Justin, we'll come to you on this one. Trophies in the cabinet at season's end. There are 2 that we care about, right? With the Heartland Trophy with Iowa and, of course, the Axe with Minnesota. 1.5.
Over.
Under. Listen, Iowa.
That's the most likely one, but I'm just being optimistic.
I would love it. I think you get one of them. I think you get one of them. But guys, like, you just can't look at what Iowa's done to this program and expect us to go into Kinnick and win that this year. That's got to be a prove it on the field type thing before I'm buying that one.
That's fair at this point.
It's difficult because I knew that we would all say over with 0.5. Like, I think we would all agree that's going to be over, but like 1.5, I really want to do because I'm officially going to say over on this just because I really do think that I think we're going to lose a game that we're not supposed to lose. I think that'll happen, but I think I was one of those games that we're not supposed to win that we might click in the other direction just because that game has been the focal point of this team for so like the last 2 years. We've been completely thumped by one of our biggest rivals and it just can't happen again. And I would like to believe that time's behind us. Justin, you were going to say something.
Yeah. I was going to say, I believe if I'm not mistaken, Iowa's significantly younger than what they've been in the last few seasons. And if that's the case, like, this is the first time we've talked about it over the last couple of years, Ryan, when we've kind of started breaking into this stuff. They've had so many sixth-year seniors or fifth-year seniors that they've been trotting out over the last couple of seasons. I think this is the first year it finally catches up with them a little bit, and they finally have to break in some new guys. And that makes me wonder if the defense, not that it's not going to be good, but that it takes a little bit of a step back and is maybe not as capable of being able to just shut teams down as much.
Yeah.
No, I think that leaves some room for exposing them a little.
I think that's totally fair. I would just say, like, if you were to zoom out nationally and ask national fans, like, who's going to win Wisconsin, Iowa this year? Like,
they would say Iowa.
Iowa's a hard place to play anyway, and they've just had our number, man. So I just got to see that one before I predict that one.
Yeah, I agree. All right, boys, we'll leave it there. Always fun to do the over-under show. Put your stuff in the comments. I'm very curious where you guys fall on this. Send us an email if you want to talk to us or if you want to come on the show or offer any takes that you have. We've got tons and tons of great content. Watch out for Tuesday. We'll be in Chicago. Ryan and I, we're going to have a meal together. That's always fun when I get to see my buddy. And he's going to meet my family, which is fun. And yeah, going to be a lot of good times, a lot of good content coming up. Fall camp is only basically like a week or so away, a little over a week away. Season starts 42 days from today, 6 weeks until we start the season. Thank you so much for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.